let's go back over and a little quick catch up here on some of the things that we've been talking about now over the last several days. From the book of Matthew, you remember I read Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. Now, of course, that was concerning the birth of Jesus. And then once again, second chapter, the 15th verse, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Well, now, you know, these words were spoken by the prophet, but then they were written down, were they not? Amen. So, again, in the 23rd verse, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. The birth of Jesus, the most important event in all of heaven and earth. Praise God. God had to have a man speak under the anointing in the earth for that birth to take place. Say, you mean he had to have?
Yes.
Well, why did he have to have? Because he decided he had to have. See, this is cooperation between God and his man. Hallelujah. And so, God, I don't know, maybe he could have done it some other way. What I care what could have happened. What I want to deal with is what has happened. What God decided that he would do. And once he said that, he'll never change it. And he said that it might be fulfilled by the prophet. Now, let's take that one step further. You remember, first of all, that this entire universe was created like that. We have it written down in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, exactly what God said. We have written down in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, exactly what God said when he raised Jesus from the dead. Isn't that amazing? We have it all recorded, and those words are still alive and still filled with power and faith of Almighty God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then we talked about the fact that the very ministry of Jesus himself, when his ministry was at its most critical point before he went to the cross, he said to Satan, what? It is written. Isn't that what he said? And then he said to him the second time, it is written. But now listen to what he said to him the third time. He said, it has been said. Glory to God. Oh, it didn't take me long, did it? I'm already happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I carry in my hand and in my spirit and in my mouth tonight the same weapon that Jesus tore the devil out of that wilderness that day, and the devil left him for a better season and never found it. He never found a better time to attack him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, after saying all that, let me remind you of this. This is a most awesome thought when you think about it. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and nothing was made without Him. Well, if that's true, nothing was made without the Word then, because in the beginning was the Word is with God, the Word was God. But now you come down to the 14th verse in that first chapter of John's Gospel, and you find these words. Now get a hold of this. Make a note of this, because some of these scriptures are so familiar to you that you forget what they mean. You know that? I mean, you can quote them and talk about them and everything, and they'll pay a bit of attention to what they mean. So we're going to catch a new glimpse into this one tonight. And the Word became flesh. Now, Adam's flesh was created by the very hand of God out of the dust of the earth. Jesus' flesh, God didn't go back to the dust of the earth, because the dust of the earth at that time didn't belong to him. He had given the earth and all the fullness therein to Adam, and Adam turned around and gave it to Satan and the authority over it. So God spoke, and his Word became flesh. His Word became the body of Jesus and dwelt among us. Now, wait a minute. He was born, his flesh was born into this earth, isn't that right? From the womb of a woman. Just like yours and mine was. The only difference is, now listen to this. The sperm that gave birth and bore in her womb was the Word of the living
God.
Now, where did he get that word? Was this something that God got up one morning and said, oh, here we go, and uttered some strange, far out utterance that nobody but him could understand? An angel came to her, came to Mary, and spoke the word of God to her. She pondered those words in her heart. But now listen, here's where we're going with it. Don't stop there. Everything that angel said had already been written down in the prophets. The word of God already says, he shall be born of a virgin. Now what you have here, this covenant that God made with Abraham, all the way through, every word of it was spoken under the anointing of God through the mouth of human beings. Isn't that right? Now, what do you have when you get from Genesis to Malachi? What do you have then? From Genesis to Malachi, what is that? It is a composite picture of Jesus of Nazareth from birth to the cross to the resurrection to the right hand of God Almighty in glory. And once that spoken word was in the earth, Jesus was born. Now, it took a long time to get that because God didn't have a whole lot of cooperation over the years. About the time someone would get anointed, somebody else would kill him. And besides that, God was dealing with spiritually unreborn, unregenerate, actually spiritually dead people. Nobody had spiritual life in them like you and I have, because until Jesus went to the cross, nobody was born again. He had to go to the cross, pay the price of that, be raised from the dead, and glorified at the right hand of God. He had to produce the new birth before it could come to somebody else. Amen? Amen. Now then, are you seeing the premium that God has put on anointed words? Isn't that a powerful thing? He never has and never will do anything in this earth without it has already been spoken. Now, you remember now from the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, we read the fact that Jesus said, there never was a prophet born of a woman more anointed than John the Baptist. But then he said, the least one in the kingdom of heaven, or the least born again child of God, is more anointed than he is. Glory to God. You have the anointing of Jesus born into you. Remember now the word Christ, the anointed one, referring to his anointing that removes burdens and destroys yoke? All right. We are the body of Christ. We are the dwelling place of that anointing, which is a more powerful anointing than Isaiah enjoyed, more powerful anointing than David enjoyed, more powerful than any king or any priest of the old covenant. Glory to God. And every born-again child of God, every one of us are kings and priests. Yes. Not only that, he gave us the privilege of being immersed, baptized in his Holy Spirit of power. Woo, just like he was in the Jordan. Yes. David never got that. Don't you know David was, when he saw what was available to the body of Christ, don't you know he thought, whoo, I wish I'd have had that. I'd have took Goliath with my bare hands. See, they didn't have access to that like you and I do. Now then, we have made this statement, and I want to make it again in this service, and then we'll go ahead from there. You are the prophet of your own life. You have the God-given anointing to call things that be not as though they were. Let's look once again in the book of Matthew chapter 12. You just need to read this verse of Scripture over and over again until you get absolutely tired of it, and then read it 500 more times. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you right now, this is Jesus telling us how to be successful in his life, his spirit, and his way of doing things. Now, he's right. Amen. Look at this 34th verse, last part of that verse. out of the abundance of the heart. Say the word abundance.
Abundance.
Now, what is the abundance of the heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, then the mouth speaks. When your spirit gets filled and then overflows with something, it'll come out your mouth. You don't have to make it come out your mouth. It will come out your mouth. That's the reason you say so many things that you wish you hadn't said. Did you ever get under pressure suddenly in an emergency situation and said something wonderful like, hang. Or something so ugly that you didn't know you would ever say that again? Well, we know what is in you in abundance. I've heard people say, well, you know, Brother Copeland, I mean, you people get in there and praise and shout and make all that noise. You know, I have a praise in my heart. No, you don't. If you had a praise in your heart, it'd come out your mouth. I mean, it's just like you fill a teapot and you set it on the fire. When it gets bubbling and running over, it shoots out the spout. And that, yeah, that spot right underneath your hole in your nose is tied to your spirit. And whatever's in there is going to come out. Amen. Now, notice the next verse. A good man, or a man of faith, out of the good treasure, or the good deposit, what he's been depositing in faith, love, joy, peace, the good things of God, bringeth forth good things. Now, the key issue there is bring forth. So evidently, here is the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking, things that have not yet come forth. Isn't that right? I mean, that's pretty plain, folks. You get right down to it. So we're talking about your future. We're talking about today is the future that you spoke yesterday. The day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. Whether you like it or not. You understand? That's the good thing about knowing God as your Father. That's the good thing about knowing Jesus as your Lord. Because He'll tell you the truth whether you really want to hear it or not. But if you will make the decision, He's right and I'm going to go His way, you can change your future, you can change your circumstances. You don't have to continue to live the way you've been living unless it's the best thing you ever had. Amen. Now, I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to tell you something. What I am instructed of the Lord to share with you tonight from this point forward is what Gloria and I found out in February of 1967. Now, next month, that'll be a long time. Amen. See, I mean, that's 32 years ago. Now, we had been born again 5 years before we found that out. So now, I went in the ministry January of 1967, and I was 30 years old when I went into this ministry. I've been in it 32 years. So now even my lightning fast mind can latch hold of the fact that I'm 62 years old. My body is 62. My spirit is 37. And my ministry is 32. Amen. And Gloria is younger than me. Amen. Now, I said that because I want to tell you this. We found out what I am about to share with you and from where we're going now from the rest of this study. I am instructed of God to share with you in detail what we've learned over the last 32 years. We began living this way the day we heard it. The day we heard it. It was totally foreign to anything we had ever heard in our lives, Christian or otherwise. I was raised in a Christian home, but I ain't never heard nothing about it. We've been living this way. Now let me tell you this. Within 11 months, we were out of debt, and we've not been in debt since. We have not ever raised any money. We went from a minus $24,000 into this ministry now that has a TV bill of over $1 million a month. We have never had
telephones, radiophones, money raising. Some preachers think the message of prosperity is the raising money. No, it isn't. It's living without having to raise money. You live off your faith. You live off your giving. Now, we receive offerings because that's a scriptural thing to do. Don't misunderstand the approach that I have. I'm just telling you what this has produced for us. In 32 years of constant ministry, we have never taken off. Well, now, we've had vacations, but I mean, you know, take off 2 years and go lay down somewhere. Oh, I dreamed of it. Amen. Oh, there was a time back there, heaven got to looking good, man. I thought I was the tiredest man in the world. I finally found out I had to shut up and quit talking like that. It was killing me. In 32 years of constant ministry, and I'm not bragging on me, you understand? When I got a hold of this, I was Mr. Compromise. I'd do anything to stay out of pressure. That's the reason I was under pressure so much all the time. 32 years of ministry, and I have not missed a service in 32 years. Sickness, disease, money, weather, or anything else. Not missed a scheduled service 32 years to the glory of God Almighty. Oh, I had some outstanding opportunities. There was one time I'm thinking about right now. Gloria caught me by the hair of the head and held it up while she shaved me with somebody else's electric shaver because I use a blade. She wasn't the way she's going to get at me and that blade. She used someone else's electric shaver and shaved my face to the glory of Almighty God. And what I'm about to show you in these sessions is exactly the way we did it and the way we are doing it and the way we will continue to do it. It's not going to take you 32 years to learn it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me catch you back up here now on what we're talking about in these sessions. The key issue, once again, is you are the prophet of your own life. Amen.
Amen.
Your future is in you right now, good or bad, for God or for the devil. You're the one that makes the choice. Isn't that true?
Amen.
You would have never got saved unless you made the decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, this just rises up and slaps religion so hard in the face, particularly the old idea that, oh, I'm just so unworthy. I'm just so no good. I just don't deserve any answer. Well, shut up then. The moment you were born again, the moment Jesus became the Lord of your life, you were given not only the right or the righteousness to pray and believe and receive and expect an answer, and your name in the name of Jesus, all of heaven. No, you have a right in the blood. You have authority to speak before the throne of the heavens. And think about this. Did you know there's no record in the Bible of angels being seated in the presence of God? They're flying around here crying, holy, 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 holy. They fall on their face. They do all these other things. But you don't find for an angel just comes in, sits down next to God and says, how you doing? No, no. The word even says Satan was called up and stood. But the Bible said, we are seated with him. Oh, glory to God. Now, I said that because I want you to realize that when you say something by faith, you put God's word in your mouth, you say something by faith, I want you to know it counts for something. So don't say some dumb something through unbelief and negate everything you said by faith. Now then, let's read from Matthew chapter 12 once more. Verse 34, the last part of it. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man or a man of faith out... Now, why do I keep saying that? Well, you know, good man. Well, I could never be a good man. God is no respecter of persons, and he's been here. He knows what you and I are putting up with on this earth. Amen.
Amen.
That's the reason we have his blood and his name and his word. See? Faith. Say it.
Faith.
Now, I'll say it like you mean it. God is no respecter of persons, but He's a respecter of faith. He'll move over 1 million people just to get to you when there's faith coming out of your mouth instead of unbelief. And every person on earth has the right to pray and has the right to pray in faith. Even the sinner has a right to pray and get born again. We'll see some of that as we go into this study a little more. Read on now. Good man, a faith man, out of the faith deposit of the Word of God in his heart, brings forth good things. An evil, or you remember the book of Hebrews says that a heart of unbelief is an evil heart. God wasn't accusing you of being evil. He's just telling you what unbelief is in His eyes. Unbelief. Unbelief is not non-belief. No such thing as a human being believing nothing. You can't do that. You can't even do that when you're asleep. Because your spirit believes in something all the time. It believes whatever's in there in abundance. Because your soul, your decision mechanism made a choice and put it in there. And your spirit thinks it's supposed to believe everything you put in there. Like ground thinks it's supposed to grow everything that's put in it. That's the reason fence posts rot. Because the ground tries to make them grow. That's right. It don't know the difference. It tries to make everything grow you stick in it. Because that's its job. Now, unbelief, when you're reading the Bible, unbelief is believing something other than what you read. If I was reading the handbook on a General Motors car, then unbelief would be believing something other than what this book said about my car. If I was reading the handbook on my airplane, printed by Cessna Aircraft Company, they built it, they wrote the book on it. God created you, and He wrote the book on you. Amen. So if I'm reading the Bible, then Bible unbelief would be to believe something other than what the Bible tells me. Okay, you get a hold of that? No such thing as non-belief. You may be not believing the Word, but that means you're believing something other than the Word. Well, I just can't hardly believe that. Well, here's what I think about it. Well, you're fixing to tell us your version of something that ain't so. Amen. Now, that's important because religion has a totally warped idea of it. Every idol, inoperative, every word that's not based in faith and in the power of God, that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. This is serious business, folks. For by your words you shall be justified, by your words shall you be condemned. Now remember Hebrews 3:1, now consider, or put your mind on and give thought to seriously, the apostle, or the one God sent to be high priest of our profession, the index says confession, Christ, or the anointed Jesus. So God appointed him, sent him to be high priest over our words of faith, or over his words in our mouths. Anointed him to do that. Now consider that. All right? You stop and consider that then. By my words am I justified. By my words am I condemned. I bring things to pass out of the abundance of my heart. My mouth speaks. That is a law of God and you can't change it. I don't care how hard you try. Cannot be changed. So, here we are again. You're the prophet in your own life. I can prophesy to you. Somebody else prophesied to you. The whole Bible is just laying there talking to you, telling you how to prosper, telling you how to live, telling you how to be well. Yeah, but you know, I just think I'll go ahead and well, yeah, but and so I don't care what God said or I said or anybody else said. You make your mind up. You start talking and your whole life will follow your words. So what you have today is what you said yesterday. Now, we know that's true from this viewpoint. Jesus called words seeds. So or so of the word. Amen?
Amen?
See? He called words seeds. So, he said a man built his house on the sand. How? Speaking words. These are there by the wayside where the word was sown, and so forth, and so on. That gives us another insight into words. Jesus said man does not live by bread alone. There's more to him than that. But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So words are seeds. That means words can be planted where they're out of sight. They're in your heart. They have not come to pass. But you continue to plant and water those words, the law of sowing and reaping will cause those words to eventually come up and be manifest, and you can see them in your own life. You know what that's called? Out of the good man's heart, it's called the glory of God. Out of the evil man's heart, it's called judgment. He just kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it. Well, the Word of God all the time was telling you, an open, unbridled mouth will bring destruction. And so it came. Destruction came. The curse came. Well, that's judgment. Why is that judgment? Well, what if somebody went into a court of law and there was a question here, a question of law, and they came back and they said, well, no, you know, the Supreme Court of the United States said in 1942, that was case number this, number that, and such a place. And here was what they declared then. There's no use going into it again because it's already been judged. Judgment. So judgment was passed down based on what the highest judge in the land had already judged. Now Jesus said, when the Spirit of God comes into the earth, He will judge. He will judge. What? Do you remember? I want you to start getting in here and start thinking about this with me. I'll tell you what. He will judge of sin. Why? There, I'm not going to get on you if you do the wrong answer, so. All right, 16th chapter of John. Go ahead and look it up. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding here. And one thing the Spirit of God told me to do in these sessions, to take time and go over every point. I don't care how long we have to stay at this and cover this thing from the start to the finish and from the top to the bottom. Praise God. 16th chapter of John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter or the Holy Ghost will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. When He's come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now listen. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. That's the only sin that the Holy Ghost convicts sinners of today. That's the only one. Not accepting Jesus as the Lord of your life is the only sin that'll keep a sinner out of heaven. Because all the rest of it's already been judged. He went to the cross, bore it on the cross, and God said, I judge that. That's already been born and paid for. And the world says about the believer, says if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged and condemned with the world. Why? We've already been judged. Hallelujah. Now notice this. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see Me no more. And now he said, you don't have any right. You're not going to be able to stand up before God and say, well, I was just an old unworthy sinner. I was just no good. I was just lower than a worm. No, you're not going to get away with that. Because He bore that unworthiness. He bore our sin. He bore our sickness. He bore our diseases. You're not going to be able to bawl your way through that, squalling and bawling about what you didn't have. But all the time, the Holy Ghost is there saying, no. That is no excuse. Well, I was ignorant of it. Come on. That's no excuse either, particularly in this country. You got a Bible on every corner and a church down the block. And if that wasn't enough, have you looked at the television lately? Hallelujah. Amen. Now then, the third one there, you notice, you said of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He's already been judged. Carry out judgment on him. Tell him, get under My feet. You've already been judged and sentenced. You don't have any right with Me. You don't have any rights to Me. You may have a right to come talk to Me, but you ain't got no right to when I tell you to shut up.
Amen.
It is written. It has been spoken. Now get.
Yeah.
He's already been judged. He ain't going to have to be judged one of these days. Sentence has already been brought down on him. And you and I should be functioning as Holy Ghost policemen on him with the full armor of God. What Adam should have done in the Garden of Eden, but he didn't. Now, we'll get back to those things a little bit later because there's, I wanted to get those as a foundation underneath it because there's some things are going to come up here later. Now, Jesus is the anointed high priest over our words. He's not Lord over your words of faith. He's high priest over your words of faith. There's a difference. A priest is one that stands behind the Word of God and sees to it that all the forces of heaven come into play in order to bring this thing to pass. He said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. He said, whatever you demand in my name, I'll see to it that it's done. That's your high priest talking. See, he's not high priest over sickness and disease. He's Lord over sickness and disease. He's high priest over divine health. See the difference between the two? He brings health into operation. He don't bring sickness and disease into operation. That's what a high priest does. That's what the devil tries to do, is be a high priest over sickness and disease and tag you with it. But he ain't going to get away with that. Not anymore. Not after we get through here. Jesus is anointed high priest over his word in our mouths when we speak. He has already spoken. You and I take his word and speak in this earth. Now, here's what the Spirit of God said to me today. This rhema of the Lord came in prayer and preparation for this meeting tonight. He said, today is the day of salvation. And he quoted to me Matthew 34, 35, and so forth that we read tonight. You, by your words are you condemned, by your words are you justified, and out of the abundance of your heart your mouth speaks, and that's where your future comes from. He said, Kenneth, the way of most people is to go along day to day hoping nothing bad happens, nothing that I can't handle. But if you continue going along hoping nothing bad happens, but never walking by faith, never applying the Word of God, but you've got that open, destructive mouth, a disobedient mouth, disobedient to the Word of God, disobedient to your new birth, disobedient to the fact greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, disobedient to by His stripes you were healed, disobedient to all the promises of God. And listen to yourself. Listen to what you say at times like this. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I sure do hope I don't get old one of these days and get that old-timer's disease. I mean, I did, boy, you know, that'd be terrible. Get away, just don't know anybody. And you're a burden on you. Oh, I hope I don't become a burden on my family. And I just hope that don't happen to me. Oh, God, don't let that happen to me. And he's sitting there saying, I've already put a stop to it. What you're talking about there is your place, not mine. Oh, well, I guess, you know, if it did happen to me, one thing about it, I meet some new friend every day. Joke it off.
See?
Make some kind of joke out of it. And every time you hear yourself go through that, now, or whatever it is, I hope I don't wind up one of these days broke and can't pay my bill, and they're going to put me on one of them old nursing homes, and they smell bad, and I don't want to live in a nursing home. Oh, I'll tell you, you come in one day and you said, oh, there's a rumor going around out the plant that they're going to start laying people off. And we just bought a new car. Oh, I hope I don't lose this new car. I don't want to go back to driving some old bad car again. Yeah, that's terrible. And your wife says, you know what Brother Leroy said? Oh, yeah, but that's just preaching. Here's what the Lord said. Going from day to day, then when the results come, that have already been judged, and the curse comes because of what you've been saying and thinking, you try to change things in a few moments of prayer and tears, not realizing that your words actually caused what happened over a period of years. Years gone by, exercising the law of sin and death will produce the curse or judgment. You're going to get there if you don't change what you're saying. Meditation continually on the lies of the devil will build doubt and unbelief in one's spirit until it overflows in abundance into your mouth. Then it is released in words of fear, and then comes action. Acting on words of fear brings worry to pass. See, worry is meditating on the lies of the devil. You meditate on it, you're going to get it in your heart. Gets in there in abundance, you're going to speak in fear. Once you speak, you'll start acting on it. You'll start hunting another job instead of believing God for the one you have now.
You'll go sell your brand new car and take a loss on it because you're afraid you're going to lose it and go back to another clunker. You've done that the last four cars you bought over the last 20 years. Same old, over and over and over. My Lord, God help us now in this to realize.
Please turn the tape over for the conclusion.
I want to go back through here and read some of these things again. Now, let me make this statement to you again. In fact, say it with me. I am the prophet of my own life. Out of the abundance of my heart. Or out of the abundance of what I have deposited. My future comes to pass. You can't change that. That's just the way things are. Now then, the Lord said to me, let me read down through this again now. Remember, Matthew 12, once more, said, you're condemned by the words of your mouth, or you're justified by the words of your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart's mouth speak. The way of most people is to go along day to day hoping nothing bad happens. Hoping nothing bad happens. What you're doing there is exercising faith in something bad happening. But most people never stop to think about it or never know enough about the Word of God. I'm talking about born again ones, much less sinners. I mean, that sin is what they do. I'm talking about church folks that don't have the clue that this is anything that they ought to know about. And they pass it off by calling us blab it, grab it, name it, claim it bunch, and never stopping to realize that we're the ones that are paying their bills on the body of Christ. Yeah. Did you know the Christian census, the world census of Christianity, did you know what the average believer in, I'm talking about born again ones, I'm not talking about just church going folks, I'm talking about born again children of God. You know what the average offering per year per born again Holy Ghost baptized believers to mission fields? $5. Now, this ministry is depositing millions of dollars. So we're paying somebody else's bills out there. The statistics go like this. 20% of the body of Christ is paying 80% of the bills. And 80% of them are paying 20% of the bills in world missions and everything else. Well, you come to a church like this, I mean, they call us names and all that, but we're out of debt. We built this beautiful sanctuary, debt-free. We don't owe anything on the land that it sits on and never have.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, you know, something is there, and I'm telling you from the Word of God exactly how it has been done. This is what Gloria and I learned 32 years ago. Meditating continually on the lies of the devil. Oh, Brother Copeland, I don't meditate on the lies of the devil. Well, I didn't tell you the name of that. It's called worry. Worry is meditation. I don't care how you... That's serious meditation, brother. Oh, some people, you know, I mean, think they're called to worry. There are people that look at the life that Gloria and I have, and they worry because Gloria and I don't worry. Because we're not worried about anything. I'd drive me crazy if I didn't have nothing to worry about. You already crazy. We don't have to drive you there. You got there on your own. A worry-filled mind is not a God-filled mind. We have been given not the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Now, you've been given that. And if you're not going to walk in it, then you're crazy. Did I make that plain? I don't know how to get that any more clear. Most people think crazy means somebody run outside and howl at the moon. Well, if you're howling at the moon, at least it ain't going to come to pass. It'd just be out of words. You get to worrying. And then, carry out what the Lord said to me over this. He said, meditating continually on the lies of the devil will build doubt and unbelief in one's spirit until it overflows in abundance into your mouth. Then it's released in words of fear. Words of fear bring the devil's stuff to pass just like words of faith bring God's stuff to pass. The devil cannot, listen to me, cannot, say cannot, not will not, cannot. The devil cannot do anything to you apart from fear any more than God will do something for you apart from faith. The reason for that is not because God don't love you, but faith is your connection to Him. See? I could give you a gift. I could stand there and give you a gift all afternoon long. You won't reach out and make a connection. There's nothing I can do for you. And faith is your connection. Satan is a spirit. And our connection with him is fear. I will never act on fear. I will not do it. Some kind of fear rises up in my life. Today is the day we're going to get rid of it. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to try to forget it. I don't have any other thing in life that's any more important than to get the fear out of my spirit, my mind, and my body, and out of my household. If I had a bunch of rattlesnakes in my living room, I would not have anything more important than to get those things out of my house. You understand? Amen. If I was afraid to fly, I'll tell you right now, I would launch an absolute attack against the fear of flying, and I would attack it with the Word of God. The Word says perfected love casteth out fear. Crying about it won't do it. Hiding from it won't do it. But how do you perfect the Word of God? All right, 1 John 2:5. Whoso keepeth or acts on His Word does what? Huh? Look it up, 1 John 2:5. This is what you have to do. When you don't know, you just have to keep driving at it. I'm going to stop quoting so many of these things to you. I'm going to make you start looking them up. Does it do any good for me to stand up here and describe to you what potatoes taste like? You can sit right there and starve, comes until you passed out on explanations of the taste of potatoes. You won't have to get one and eat it. This is the way you feed on the Word of God. First John, little John, not big John, little John. 2:5. Whoso keepeth His Word. Read it out loud. Whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily. Now, hey, what does verily mean? Absolutely, it's the truth, and that's the way it is. And like I told you, when you see Jesus say verily, and when you see two verilies, boy, you better read that one. Because it was something that was outstanding, it was important, and it was so strong that he had to encourage you to believe it. Verily is the love of God perfected.
Hallelujah.
The more you act on the Word, the more the love of God is perfected in you. And perfected love casteth out fear. And you take up the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and you launch an attack against whatever it is in your life that is a fear. You get rid of it. I'm telling you, you go on an absolute crusade against it, whatever it is. And you get it out of your life. Amen? If it's a fear of whatever it is, don't you act on it. You act against it. You take authority over it and plead the blood over the thing, and you get some mean against it there. Nobody even wants to hear you talk. Why do you just want to talk about that all the time? Bless God, I'm against it. That's why I'm talking about it. Thing ain't staying in my life. Well, I'm just afraid my husband is going to find some other woman. He's probably hunting one now. How could he do anything else? You're acting on fear and prophesying his life. You're prophesying your future. That's kind of silly. After all, have you forgotten how you got him? Have you forgotten how you did what you did? You could do it again. Amen. Oh, but I don't look like I did this. Oh, shut that up. That's just the devil trying to cost you your marriage. Amen. Don't go by what you see in the mirror. It ain't never going to look right to you. I'm not talking about saying, oh, I'm telling you, I am something good to look at. No, I'm not talking about that. That's pride. I'm talking about faith. I have the Word of God in me. My inner man is lovely in the power of God. God put this marriage together, and thank God the love of God is stronger today than it's ever been. Hallelujah. Start pouring some love and pour the Word of God in there instead of being afraid he's going to find some other woman. And I'll tell you another thing you could do, praise God, you could go to him and say, you know, I've been afraid you're going to find some other woman, and I stupid and fed enough to start believing what the devil's telling me, but I want you to look right in my eyes, buddy boy. You ain't finding no other woman. You got this one, and this is more than you can handle anyhow. So you just, you ain't going nowhere, boy.
I was going through some records one day, and I pulled our marriage license out of the folder, and I said, "Look here, Gloria, look at this." I said, "We ain't married nowhere but Arkansas." I said, "You don't say a thing in the world about Texas or any part of the United States. It just says Arkansas." She said, "That's what you think, buddy boy." Amen. Yeah. That ended that conversation. Never would bring that up no more. She just ended that right there. Now then, don't wait. Start now. I am talking about your everyday conversations. I am talking about the way you think. That little running conversation, that little voice runs in your mind all the time. Get it full of the Word of God. Rebuke it out loud and don't let it tell you you're going to have a wreck on Interstate 35. Don't stay off of Interstate 35, because every time I think about Interstate 35, I guess there's just too many big old trucks. You need to go to Oklahoma and back about 200 times. I appear neither man, devil, or beast. Hallelujah. A greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I am not a man up here. I am not a woman up here. Glory to God. I'm a man of faith. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of old age. Amen. Amen. Why? Because of the 103rd Psalm. I was praying over my mama. Mama was doing her best to die. This is 11 years ago. I'm praying over her. It's in the middle of the night. She's laying there in the bed, and I'm praying over her healing. And the Lord says, "She don't need healing." It shocked me so I pitched my Bible. I said, "What?" He said, "She doesn't need healing." I said, "Well, you could have fooled me. She's laying there trying to die. You know, she doesn't need healing." He said, "No. Did you notice when we took her in there on account of pneumonia?" He said, "Did you notice how quick that pneumonia left?" I said, "Lord, forgive me, I didn't. I was so interested in the condition of her heart, I didn't even pay attention to that, and I apologize for that. That pneumonia didn't stay in her 24 hours. I said, "Well, what's the matter with it?" He said, "Her body's worn out. She has worn the thing completely out. She wouldn't sleep." I asked my daddy, I said, "Daddy, does she ever sleep?" He said, "Ken, she don't even wrinkle the sheets." She pray all night long. She said later, she told a doctor friend of mine, Dr. Whitaker, she told him, she said, "You know, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have took a whole lot better care of myself." But they told her, right after I was born, that she was going to die within 10 years. And they kept telling her that every 10 years. Because of a situation I won't get into because I don't have time. But she dealt with that all of her life. Well, here she is. I said, "Lord, what do you get?" He said, "Read the 103rd Psalm." Well, in there it said, "He fills my mouth with good things, that my youth is renewed like the eagles." And I said, "Well, can I pray that for her now?" He said, "Well, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, they told me she wasn't going to live 36 hours. She's going to be dead in 3 days. And we'd already had about 7 or 8 hours since they told me that. Because this is the middle of the night. I prayed that for her, and she lived 9 more months. I said, "Lord, tell me what's going on here." He said, "Read that 103rd Psalm again." It said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." See, the psalmist was talking to his soul, to his mind, and to his memory. He was talking to it, see, by the Holy Ghost. God had energized him to talk to his memory and talk to his mind. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless his holy name. All that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits, who has taken sickness and disease from the midst of us. Our lives are redeemed from destruction. He has given his angels charge over us to carry out our righteous cause." But now listen to this one. "He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles." I said, "My Lord, my Lord." He said she should have been doing that every day of her life, the same as all of my people should be doing every day. But he said, "Kenneth, you have a habit, you're all my people, just about everywhere," he said, "have a habit of, at 30 years old, they begin to talk age and joke about it and laugh about it. And, you know, there's 3 things about getting old. One, you lose your memory, and I don't remember what the other 2 are." Dumb, stupid, ignoramus, things like that. Even down to the point of misinterpreting the Scripture. Saying about you and me living 3 score and 10. Talking about us living 120. or until you're satisfied.
I ain't satisfied yet. Because I know I'm not through. When I get through, I'm going to be satisfied, and I'm not staying here another 30 seconds. You can bet on that.
I'm out of here. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm on the Glory Express. One of the, and I know how many years that is. I'll be 92 years old unless the Lord catches us away before then.
Thank God I believe He will. I'm prepared for that, but I'm prepared to stay if that's what I'm called to do.
Amen. So I started then. I started that. In 1988, when God said that to me, I started saying that and confessing that 103rd Psalm every day. That's the reason I write it on the bottom of my partner letters, because I intend for you to confess it over me, and I'm confessing it over you every day of the world. How people tell me, say, what do you put on your hair to take the gray out of it? Water. Soap. No, this is it. This is it. Hallelujah. Amen. I confess it every day of my life. Thank God He fills my mouth with the word of the living God, and my youth is renewed. Well, your inner man is renewed day by day. Scripture says your spirit is renewed every day. Well, quit talking old. Get old out of your mouth. Just don't talk like that. Don't say that. Don't agree with the world when they say that. I had a guy walk up to me in a Walmart store one day. He's frowning when he walked up to me. He said, "You're Kenneth Copeland, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah." "You're the one on TV." I said, "Yeah." He said, never changed his look, had that frown on his face. He said, "You look just as old off of the TV as you do on it." I said, "Well, glory to God, He ain't my Lord." Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I have the first word and the last word, so His don't count." I don't care what He thinks. I have no care whatsoever about how old I look to Him. I don't care what the mirror says about it. I know what the Word of God has to say about it. And I'm not going to turn loose of it. I'm not letting go of that Word from God. But now, in order to do that, you can't play both sides of the fence. You're not going to be able to do that. You can't keep talking old. You can't keep just going on and on and on and on like that. And like God said, and then one of these days, when it finally comes to and close there, and it happens to you, and then with a few tears and a few unbelieving prayers, you're going to change 35 or 40 years of talking old. No, you're not. I'll tell you something else that happens here that people don't realize. Think about the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. You've been talking doubt and unbelief and all knowingly and unknowingly and all that yang. God had to keep the volume of spiritual power turned down around you to keep from killing you and everybody on the freeway. Every time somebody pull out in front of you, you holler at them and damn them. Honk your horn like it's a machine gun. Because you blow him off the road. You're going to have to do better than that. Now, after 35 or 40 years of having that volume turned down, and now all of a sudden you think you're going to rise up in 3 days and drive cancer out of your body or anybody else's? Well, I'll just go to the doctor. Well, God bless you. If it's something He can't handle, you're in a world of hurt. Amen. And there's nothing He can do about the spiritual volume in you. You're going to have to plead the blood and plead the blood and plead the blood and get that out of there and turn this thing around. And then you can get that volume turned up, and in a matter of hours, you can drive that thing out of your life. But the best thing would be start now. Building a new platform of the Word of the living God. Hallelujah. And turn that volume up to full bore and live your life like that. Hallelujah. And when cancer comes up and gets in your face, tell Him to get. And He'll get. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Father, we just praise You and bless You. We bless the Word of the living God. We bless the God of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us. Thank You for it, Jesus. Thank You for it, Jesus. Now, listen to me.
All of us, over 1,000 of us in this room tonight, we could all pray for you at the same time. We can bring the power of God into manifestation in your presence right now. But if you don't do what the Word says to receive it, it'll go and come, and you'll stay in the same position you're in. You're going to have to make a decision.
Like I said a while ago, the Scripture said, today's the day.
Oh, Brother Copeland, I just don't know whether I can live this or not.
What'd
you say?
Well, I just don't know that I can have that kind.
What'd you say?
Well, quit prophesying that and say, with the help of God, I can do this thing. Praise the Lord. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in me. Why, yeah. Pray for me, Brother Copeland. I can do this thing. I can do this by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now you're talking. Now you're talking something that you want to talk. Father, I pray for this audience right now in the name of Jesus. Now there's the power of God. Pick up on it now. Say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. I receive your healing power, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I receive the overflow of 1999 in my finances and in my life. Jesus said, give, it'll be given unto you again. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Overflow. Now, Jesus said, whatever you've been saying were seeds. So whatever you have in your life is a harvest of those seeds. Well, now, Brother Copeland, I just... No, wait a minute. In the book of Galatians, it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a person sows, that shall he also reap. You can't continue to sow certain things and not reap them.
Well, now, Brother Copeland, I know Brother Doodad live right down there, and he just did it, I did that. Hey, we're not talking about Brother Doodad. We're talking about you
and me. I'm responsible for me. You and your words are responsible for you. Amen.
Well, I don't know why I would have to be all that careful about what I say. I mean, if I get sick, you know, I could just go to Oral Roberts or Benny Hinn or Brother Hagin or Sister Gloria. I could go to healing school and get rid of it. For how long?
Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, even Gloria Copeland. Occasionally. May not be you, but 92%.
What?
They're not perfect people. They're not the healer. What do you want to have to wait and go to somebody else for? You can stop it now before it ever comes to your household.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up and give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Just bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Now, I want you to catch on to something. I don't know whether you've ever really heard me say this or not. When I found out about these very same principles, that I was the prophet of my own life 32 years ago, I saw in the Scripture where it says, no man saith Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. I started saying it all day. I started saying it to everybody I see. I put it on my stationery. I wrote it on the inside of my Bible, the outside of my Bible. I wrote it on everything I have. I have it, it's on everything. You get inside my airplane, sit down in the cockpit, turn the radios on, and it'll say, welcome, Jesus is Lord, on the front of the radios, man. I mean, I've got it on my house. I've got it, no, it's not on them socks, it ought to be. I mean, everywhere. Why? I'm saying it. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my power. Jesus, see, I'm saying, every time I say that, the Holy Ghost said, that's right. Yes, amen. Mm-hmm, yeah. I've been saying that for 32 years. I mean, I've been saying that for 32 years. Well, I had a little gold plaque made to say, Jesus is Lord over this house. Jesus is Lord over this ministry. Jesus is Lord over Eagle Mountain Church. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over my life. You say it right now. Jesus is Lord over my life.
Jesus is Lord over my life.
Jesus is Lord over my finances.
Jesus is Lord over my finances.
Now put it in your heart and put it in your mouth and don't let it get out. Amen.
Oh, I tell you, back there when I first got started, people, you know, they've got to where they just kind of overlook me now. But back there when I first started, they thought I was a Jesus is Lord fanatic. I was and am. I don't care what happened. I would say it out loud. No, no, Jesus is Lord over that, you know. I had preachers stand up and say, I don't care if you say Jesus is Lord, you can't just affect everything with it. Because I'd stand up, I'd drive into Fort Worth, I'd drive into the city limits from being out of town somewhere, I'd say, Jesus is Lord over Fort Worth, Texas! And I had preachers get on me about that and said, that won't have any effect over Fort Worth. Well, I don't care! I have no theological position on this. I just bless God to choose to say Jesus is Lord over Fort Worth. Jesus is Lord over Tarrant County. Jesus is Lord over this ministry. He's Lord over my body. He's Lord over my mind. He's Lord over my mouth. He's Lord over my feet. He's Lord over my clothes. He's Lord over my family. He's Lord over everything I have and will have. And somehow or another, it just seems to me like that it doesn't make much difference with me if some fella standing there telling me it's not going to work and he's got a mouth full of cavities. Yeah. Or something else. Oh, give me that. I had a fella one time tell me my teeth weren't under the plan of redemption. They hurt like they needed redeeming. Dear Lord. Yeah, they are, because they're mine. Oh, Brother Copeland, I just don't know. You know, I know God loves you, but I just don't know that God loves me. I just don't know. That's the kind of stuff that people think and say and talk and never really realize they do it, because they don't ever do it at church. Oh, yes, hallelujah, I have the victory. Don't let that kind of stuff get to you. Come against it out loud. Don't let your mind even think it coming. God loves me. He loved me. I know He loved me. How do you know? You feel like He loves you? Oh, don't we feel God? How would you like it every time you come to church, somebody standing at the door and says, oh, let's feel and see if you hear. Oh, don't we feel this, brother? Wouldn't that get old? And sometime you came in and said, I don't know whether he's really here or not. I don't feel him. The Spirit of God had put up with that. I know he's here because he said, number one, he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He promised that. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, he said, two or three of you gathered together, I'm there in the midst of it. Any two of you on earth shall agree together as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them, my Father, which is in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, loosed in heaven. Why? Because He's in the midst of you. Amen. See? So get that in your mouth. Get that over in your mouth. I'm talking about your everyday conversation. Glory and I are right in the midst, right now, in our family, in our ministry, in our life together, in our finances, in our television. We are right now in the midst of what we said 30 years ago. I mean, I would take off down the highway, driving that old car, take off down the highway and start saying it. My Lord God, I'm saying it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to preach from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. I'm going to preach that Jesus saves. I'm going to preach that Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach that Jesus heals. I'm going to preach that Jesus is coming soon. And I'm going to preach that He is our financier. Glory to God. I'm going to preach it all over the world. And when I had my first stationery made that I ever had made in my life, I put a world on it, said Jesus is Lord across it, said Jesus is Lord across the bottom, and put me an airplane going around the world. I didn't more have an airplane than a goose has got a propeller, but I was calling for it. I was calling for it. I called myself flying. I saw myself flying. I started talking it, praise God. I'm still talking it.
Now, if you're going to go tell somebody that this don't work, don't come tell me because you're too late. You waited too long to convince me of it. So see what's happening to me today? What I said 30 years ago. I never changed it. I never said anything else. I thought about a lot of other junk, but and some of it crept out my mouth, but I'd have to stop and rebuke it. Well, glory stopped and rebuked most of it. You get tired down and not spending the time in the Word that you need to keep your confession strong and of your spirit and not just your mind. Hallelujah. What God didn't want us to do is go out and get a bunch of stuff through our mental ingenuity. Because it's still tied to the world. And you'll bring the world into your life when you do that. Because it still belongs to them. You're doing it their way. It still belongs to them. Even though you have title deed to it, it's tied to the ups and the downs and the politicians and this and that and the other. See? But when you take the Word of God and you're calling things that be not as though they were. Let me tell you this. When you do that, what you're doing is seeking first the kingdom of God and His way of doing things, and then those things get added to you. They're not tied to the world. They last longer. They're more fun. And they don't get into pride and downfall because they don't belong to the Word. You got it from heaven and you know you got it from heaven. And when you know you got it from heaven and you know how you got it from heaven, it don't bother you to give that one because you know where the other one going to come from. Amen. See, that's the reason that it wasn't that God didn't want you to have it. He wanted you to have it His way. Then it's not an anvil around your neck when you get it. These are the days of great change, saith the Lord. Great change. Political change. Not only here, but in every country on the face of the earth. Great financial changes are in the process right now, even as we speak. Great things are changing. But on the other hand, what you have been hearing for the last several days will never, ever change. Everything is changing around you now because of what people have prophesied and believed and put on paper for the last 6,000 years. And present day prophets and believers have agreed with the prophets of old. And it's changing governments and changing churches and changing systems and changing people's ways. My ways will never change. Even throughout eternity, I will show you the exceeding riches of my grace, saith the Lord. And then I'll say it. And then you'll say it. And it'll change the heavens. I'll say it. And then you'll say it. And new stars will be born and old ones will be folded up like a blanket and put away forever. I'll say it. And then you'll say it. And heaven itself will be moved to a rejuvenated earth. Oh, say, Lord, how am I ever going to learn to do all that? You're learning now. It'll never change. Times change. Ages change. But I never change. Neither does my word. And neither do the people that learn to get on my word and stay there. It's not what somebody else does for you. It's what I've already done for you, saith the Lord. I can make every human being ever born of a woman since the creation of Adam wealthy beyond your wildest dreams all at the same time and never touch my reserves and my capital. You don't have to have anybody else. I can bring goods and wealth to you that other people don't even know where it came from. Get me out of the little box that you've fastened me in. Oh, I could bless you, but it'd have to come through that avenue. It'd have to come through this avenue. Quit laying around trying to dream up different avenues for me to bless you in and begin to say with your mouth, the Lord is my shepherd. I never want. Hallelujah. Oh, as fast as I want, He fills my life. Get out of your mind and get into your mouth. Stop jumping on your body because you're mad at it trying to change it. Jump on your tongue. Your body will obey. We're learning. Hallelujah. We're learning.
We're learning.
Well, I just don't know how I'm going to do this.
With your mouth. That's how you're going to do it. With your mouth and faith in the Word of God.
Faith in the anointing. Faith in the name. Faith in the blood.
You're never going to have much faith in the blood of Jesus till you learn to plead that blood every day of your life. I do that every day. Every day. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family, over my partners, over my staff and their families for protection against every evil spirit, every evil person, every evil thing, every evil plan of the devil. And I bind you, Satan, I paralyze you, and I loose you from our lives. You keep your hands off everything that belongs to me. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I don't know how many times a day I say that. How many times a day did you say it? I don't know. Maybe some of you didn't say it at all. Well, how many times did you think, oh, I hope I don't get over there tonight and get so tired I can't get up in the morning and just be tired all day long just because I went to church at night, but I guess I better go, shut up! Put something else in your mouth. I'm strong in the Lord. Yeah, the Word makes me stronger, not weaker. Hallelujah! Yeah! My youth is renewed like a eagle! Hallelujah! Amen. Now I'm done. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.